cross. Oh, we have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him.
Just worship him. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, let's raise our hands to Him tonight and sing it this way. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name, and worship Him. Oh, let us lift up holy hands. Oh, yes, Lord. We want to magnify Your name. Feel His presence here tonight. Let's sing it this way. We have come into His house to magnify His name and worship. Oh, we worship You tonight, Father. Oh, we have come into His house to magnify His name and worship.
Good to be in His presence, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord tonight. Sister Barbara Stutzman asked that we please pray for her niece. She's Amish, and her husband passed away very unexpectedly last night. He was only 33 years old, so we'll remember that family in prayer. And she also said to please pray for a different nephew and his wife. They have a 2-month-old baby, and she's suffering from severe postpartum depression. So I want to remember that situation as well. And then Sister Weber asked that we please remember Sister Violet Sizemore, who's not feeling well tonight. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring to the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Now the Lord sees each one. Brother Jimmy, would you just come tonight and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Seated. We have a special from Brother Jackson this evening.
Thank you.
Appreciate that, Brother Jackson. Well done.
Well, my heavenly home, it's bright and bare. I feel like traveling on. Nor pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Oh, yes, I feel.
I feel shake somebody's hand. Let's sing it this way tonight. Oh, there's a light in the window, and the table's spread in splendor. I know someone's standing by the open door. Oh, and I can see a crystal river. Lord, I know I must be near forever, 'cause I've never been this homesick before. Won't see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. Oh, and I can see my father standing at the door. My family gathered, those sweet faces so familiar, but no one's old or feeble anymore. Sometimes my lonesome heart gets to crying. Church, I feel I've spread my wings for flying, 'cause I've never been this homesick before. Those sweet faces, all familiar, but no one's old, no one's feeble anymore. Sometimes my lonesome heart gets to crying, feels like spreading my wings for flying. Oh, 'cause I've never been this home. Just about home. sing it again together. See the bright light shine. Yes, Lord. Oh, I can see my Father standing at the door. This world's been a wilderness. I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. And so many times I've questioned certain circumstances, things I could not understand. Lord, so many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration gets so out of hand. Lord, but it's then I'm reminded I've never been forsaken. Lord, I've never had to stand one test alone. As I look at all the victories, your spirit rises up in me. For it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, and that your hill would not be hard to. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Oh, just remember when you're standing in that valley of decision, that old adversary says, I'll trust the hand of God. He'll shield the flames again. Cause he never promised that the cross would not get heavy, or your hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting. He said help would all. When you're standing in that valley of decision, that old adversary says, give in, you just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again. Oh, let's sing it again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, or that your hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said help was gonna come in time. So just remember when you're standing in that valley of decision, that old adversary said, he's able tonight. Amen. Amen. You might be right in the middle of a trial. The Hebrew children were one time too. Amen. Right. But he took them right through the middle of the fire. Amen. Didn't singe their clothes, didn't singe their hair, didn't smell like smoke. Right. Amen. But he took them right through. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. St. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, if you turn with me this evening. St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 6. And we've been looking for the last few Sunday evenings on this thought of supremely blessed.
And in looking at the Beatitudes, we found that this very word beatitude means supreme blessedness or exalted happiness. Jesus, in St. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, he picks up with this next beatitude, and he says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled."
Amen.
Amen. Does it seem like it's something supremely blessed to be hungry and thirsty? But he says, don't worry, they'll be filled. Amen. Let's bow our heads together tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne again tonight, Lord, and looking at these beatitudes that you placed before us, Lord, blessed are the poor in spirit. Oh, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And blessed are they which mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Lord, this group of people that you're talking about, Lord, that are poor in spirit and troubled and vexed and tormented on every side, Lord, they're meek and humble and lowly, and oh Lord, they're needy. But Lord, it doesn't look like to the outside world, to the intellectual mind, that that would be something we would call supremely blessed. But when we begin to look into your promises, Lord, for those that are going through these type of things, we recognize, Lord, even in the midst of the trial, we're supremely blessed. Amen. To know that you're walking right beside us, that you're with us, that you promised you'd never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, as we come before your throne again tonight, Lord, I just ask that you'd help us. Lord, maybe there's a need tonight that needs, Lord, to be ministered to, the heart that needs to be encouraged. Lord, may you just help me to get myself out of the way, Lord. I know in myself there's nothing I could do to help, Father. But Lord, if I can get myself out of the way so that you can come and that you can speak through the quotes and the scriptures and through, Lord, human instrumentality again tonight, Lord, then we know that, Lord, there can be needs that are spoken to and hearts that are encouraged and comforted, Lord, even in the darkest of hours. But yet that's what you taught us. That's right when you come along, Lord, is in that darkest moment, just like you did with Lazarus and his family. Seemed like all hope was gone, seemed like a dark hour, but then you came along their way, Father. Lord, may you pass by our way again tonight, Lord. Lord, as I was thinking this morning of how that you could be touched by the healing of our feeling of our infirmities, Father, Lord, and how that if you were passing by us, Lord, and our faith could just reach out and touch the hem of your garment, Lord, that all wrongs could be made right. Lord, may we just muster up enough faith to reach up and touch the hem of your garment again tonight, Lord, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Brother Branham, in The Greatest Gift in the Bible, 1957, he refers to this beatitude, and he says, "It's a blessing to even thirst, but the devil has tried to make you think of something else, but the thirst was given you by God." So we find out that we're blessed even to thirst, even just to have that thirst for God in our life, to have a desire for more of God. We're blessed just in that, because we recognize there's many people out here, you run into them at Walmart or on your job or at your school or different places, they don't have that same type of thirst that we do. And you know, maybe to look at them in the normal world out here, whatever you want to call normal anymore, they might be a good citizen, they might do a good job, they might show up on time to their work and might even be a good clean-cut guy or decent moral living woman. But there's something about it, if there's nothing inside of them to thirst after God, then Satan will try to change that thirst that's within them, because everybody, every human being is thirsting for something. And that thirst, Brother Ram tells us in 1965 in the sermon Thirst, he said that thirst was placed there in your heart for God, that we're to thirst after him. But many people try to quench that thirst with other things. And he said, how dare you try to hush that holy thirst with something else? Many go and they try to quench it with alcohol or cigarettes or drugs or whatever it would be that they're reaching for, to try to hush this holy thirst. But if we have a thirst in our heart and a desire for God, then it's a blessing to even have that thirst. Even before you reach your goal, even before you attain to more of him, we're already blessed just to even have that thirst down on the inside of us, to know that, Lord, there's something that I'm thirsting for. And David picked it up in Psalm chapter 42, verse 1, or not David, rather, but this was to the chief musician. It was Maskell for the sons of Korah. And it says, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. And here the psalmist is trying to pin down this thirst that he has. And he looks and he sees the deer out there, how that it would get so thirsty after it had been running, maybe chased by some hunter, and it gets so thirsty and so tired, and it would get to where it would thirst for the water brooks, and it would pant after that. And he said, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so my soul panteth after thee, and my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not thirsty for a God of B.C. 360 or a God of 1947 or a God of somewhere back in the past in the days of Moses or the days of Noah, but I need a living God. Amen. I need a present tense God that's here to perform what we have need of. And as Jesus said, they begin to argue about the resurrection. They said, oh my, you know, the Sadducees, who didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. They didn't have no hope of the resurrection. And they said, oh my, you know, if there was a man, and you know, in the law of Moses, if a man had a wife and she died, then his brother would marry her, and on it would go. And they said, so seven brothers, each one of them had died, had died, and the next one had married this woman, and in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be? And he said, first of all, you know, if I teach you earthly things, how are you going to understand, and you don't believe, how are you going to understand heavenly things? But he said, in the resurrection, it's not so, as married and given in marriage. But he began to talk to him about how that God wasn't the God of the dead, but he was the God of the living. And he said, if he's talking in the Old Testament, and he said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, he wasn't talking about some dead corpses back there somewhere, but he said he's a God of the living. Amen. So I believe they're just as alive tonight as they ever were. They're just in a different dimension, faster than we are. And we need that same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and Noah, and Brother Branham, and different ones down through the ages. We read these things, and they're examples to us, but it's not just enough for me to paint a picture of history back there somewhere. I want to bring him up out of history tonight. My soul is thirsting for the living God, for a present tense God that's able to meet our needs, that's able to answer our prayers, that's able to see the circumstances that we're facing right now. And if he could look down through time and he could see where you would be sitting at tonight, maybe you didn't plan to be sitting in the seat you're sitting in tonight. Maybe, you know, it wasn't on the agenda, and maybe you had other things going on, but God looked down through time and by predestination and foreknowledge said they'll be there on that Sunday night, and Brother Nathan's going to preach this about a living God. God, and if he could look down through time and see all of that, then he could see what your circumstance is. He could see what your condition is tonight. He could see what you're hungering and what you're thirsting for, and he could know how to provide it for you. Amen. Oh, it's a blessing to even thirst. Says, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. And David picks it up in Psalm chapter 63, verse 1, when he was in the wilderness of Judah. And he says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Now, he had seen God when he went to church, and that was good. He saw him in the sanctuary, but now he's out in the wilderness of Judah, and he's running from the threat of Saul, and it's not very convenient for him to get to church on a Sabbath day. And he said, Lord, I've seen thy glory in the sanctuary, but now here I am out in the wilderness, and I'm thirsty for you out here. It's not just enough for me to feel you when I'm at church. It's not just enough for me to be in your presence on Sunday morning and on Wednesday night. But Lord, I'm thirsty for that same glory that I see in the sanctuary. I want it to be with me whether I'm in the desert or whether I'm on my job or whether I'm at a factory somewhere, whether I'm at my school. Lord, I want to see your glory there too. He said, my soul's thirsting for it. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Right. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Oh, I hope we don't just limit him to the sanctuary of the four walls of the church.
I hope we don't just limit him to where we can only feel his presence and get closer to him when we walk in these doors. I appreciate a place where we can come and get away from Laodicea for a little while and fellowship together and bring our little licks of fire. But I don't just want to see his glory here, and I don't want to just feel his glory here, but I want his abiding presence of the living God to walk with me everywhere I go, everything I do, whatever I say, whatever circumstance I'm in, wherever I'm going, I want his glory to be identified with me there.
Amen.
Jesus said in Luke 6 verse 21, he said, "Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled." And a few verses later, he said, "Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger." Now, he's not talking about whatever you ate at lunch and that you've got a full belly now and, oh my, woe unto you, because you're going to be hungry again in a little while, especially if Brother Nathan starts talking about food in this sermon. My, you'll begin to get hungry again. But he's talking about spiritually how that we're blessed even if we hunger now, because we have a promise that we'll be filled. But woe unto them that already claim that they're full now, for they shall hunger. Many times we get to a spot where we feel like, well, I've been in the message X amount of years, and I've read this many books and listened this many tapes, and I've sat under this many preachers, and you know, there's just nothing more that I have need of. Woe unto you that think you're full, because you're going to find out you're going to be hungry. Woe unto you that have tried to hush that holy thirst for more of God with something of the world. Or woe unto you that have tried to build your own millennium here, and my, you get a nicer house and a nicer car and nicer set of clothes, and my, you begin to feel a little bit better physically, and you begin to get comfortable down here. I don't want to try to create a millennium without Jesus.
All
right. Amen. Because I don't care how comfortable it gets down here, without him sitting on the throne, then it's no millennium.
Amen.
I don't want to go somewhere without him. I don't want to be somewhere where his presence isn't welcome. But many people, what they're trying to do, you look at the houses they build, these multimillionaires and billionaires, and the big yachts that they drive and the lifestyles that they live. They're trying to create a millennium here on earth before it actually takes place. But I don't care how comfortable it gets down here, without him being on the throne, not only of our hearts, but sitting on the throne and ruling the kingdoms of the world, then it's all just Satan's Eden. And you can color it up and pretty it up and try to comfort it up as much as you want. But my prayer is that he stirs our nest a little bit to make us remember that this is not our home.
Amen.
I don't want to get comfortable in Satan's Eden. This isn't my home. This isn't his plan for me. There's still sickness. There's still death. There's still sin. That could never be my home, Brother Hoover.
Amen.
Hey, man, I'm going to a place where there's no old age. There's no Social Security. There's no gray hair. Oh my, don't worry, I won't start calling names tonight. There's no backaches, there's no heartaches, there's no discouragement, there's no losing loved ones.
Come on.
There's no depression.
Hallelujah.
There's no anxiety, there's no fear, no more dying, no more weeping of tears. Oh, we might cry a little bit at first, but the Bible said he'd come over and wipe the tears away from our eyes.
Amen,
amen. That's where I'm going, that's my home. Hey man, I can never get comfortable enough down here. A man told Brother Collins years ago, came up pushing his wife in a wheelchair, and he said, Brother Collins, do you know that we're in the millennium? And he said, he looked down at him and looked at his wife in the wheelchair and looked back and forth. He said, Brother, if you had told me that we were in the great tribulation period, I would have stopped and thought. But he said, there's no way that we're in the millennium. Hey man, she wouldn't be in that wheelchair in the millennium. There wouldn't be no sick little babies. There wouldn't be no discouragement. There wouldn't be no arguing and torment and back and forth and pressures and bills and all kinds of things that go on. And we wouldn't have those things if we was truly in the millennium. But what people have done is tried to paint a pretty picture of Satan's Eden and make it comfortable enough for us to get content. You better be careful if you're feeling like you're filled down here in Satan's Eden. But no, I want to have a hunger and a thirst for more of God. I don't want to get comfortable in this condition. St. John chapter 6 verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now, if he's talking about this literally, like many of them try to take the Bible so literally, they said, oh my, when they ate of the fruit of the tree in the garden, it was just a literal fruit. And they fail to recognize and even make fun of the serpent seed. Many of them that even recognized the serpent seed. At one point I thought, how on earth could you ever see it and then go back and believe anything else? There's no way. There's no way. I don't claim to be perfect, and I don't claim that I'm always right, but I do know that I can't go back to some of the garbage that we come out of. Amen. Hey, man, if it's anything ever wrong, it's me that's wrong. It's not this word that's wrong. And so when we begin to look at it, here they take it literal. All my, you know, it was the fruit of the tree of the garden. Well, if that's true, as we've said before, then when John the Baptist said, bring forth meats, fruit for repentance, then, you know, he was talking about a literal fruit, you know, that you had to bring forth. And when Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them, then that meant if Brother Luke can raise a better tomato garden than I can, then he must be a better Christian than I am, because by your fruits we shall know them. And if he said that he was that bread that came down out of heaven, he was talking about a little, a loaf of bread. And if he said he was of that water that you'd never thirst again, then he meant when he poured that lady at the well there some H2O and she drank of it, she never had to go back and drink from the well again. No, he wasn't talking about that type of thirst or that kind of hunger. He wasn't talking about that bread or that type of water, because if he was, then St. Paul certainly missed it. Because he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 11, even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. Here he was out there hungry and thirsty for the water and for the bread. But yet there was something inside of him, a well springing up of living water.
All right.
He says again in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 25, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness. I thought you were a Christian, Paul, but Jesus said, any man that drinks of this water will never thirst again. He wasn't talking about that kind of thirst. Brother Branham says in At Thy Word 1953, he said, if you're not interested in God, you can't talk God to people. But whenever they get hungering and thirsting after righteousness, God said they shall be filled. But first there has to be a hunger and thirst. Amen. And you have to really want it. There has to be something in you that's hungering and thirsting for God. We went down to this little diner on Highway 62 a few days ago for a milkshake and some cheeseburgers and things. And when we were there, the waitress came over and she apologized to us. She said, I'm sorry. She said, it may take a little while for your food, because 10 different people just came in and said they're going to take our challenge. And I said, what's that? And she said, well, it's about 40-something ounces of meat, and it's a thing of fries and a drink, or what was it? How many ounces? 55 ounces of meat and all kinds of a basket of fries and a large drink. And you had to eat every bite of it. And if you did, you could have the food for free. If not, you had to pay $30. And they brought out these cheeseburgers stacked about this tall. And there was 10 of them that was going to eat them. Or try to, anyhow. And we sat there and watched them. And there was one little girl about the size of Sister Tabitha that she thought she was going to try to eat this. And I thought, if she eats that and gets close, I'm going to go pay for it myself, even if she don't eat it all. And they began to eat on this. And there were some boys there that they looked like pretty big boys. And they began to eat and they began to eat and they began to eat. And finally, one after another, they began to just push it back and say, no, I can't do any more. One old boy, he got all the way through it. But almost every one of them, the little girl, she got about halfway through and said she couldn't eat any more. And I went over to the table. I said, oh, you can do it. Keep going. But she couldn't do it, or she would have been reaching for a bucket somewhere to release what she had in her already. But, you know, you couldn't have convinced some of those men that pushed back their plate to take another bite. Or they would have been looking for a trash can to quickly get rid of it. What was it? They weren't hungry. They drank this big, huge, large drink. You probably couldn't have convinced them to take another sip of water or to eat another bite of food. Why? They wasn't hungry. They wasn't thirsty. They was already full up as they could be. And a lot of people go out in the world and they get full up on nicotine, or they get full up on alcohol, or they get full up on drugs. They get full up on lust, or they get full up on some worldly entertainment. That's all they think about. That's all their mind revolves around. Many of them would rob you or steal you or try to beg and bum off of you just so they could go get another fix out here. And you can't talk to them about God, many of them, because they're not hungry for that anymore. Right. They've quenched that thirst and that hunger with something else, and you can't talk to them about God. But when somebody gets desperate enough, I don't care what they've been through, I don't care what their past looks like, when they recognize that everything they've tried to quench this holy thirst with has left them empty and desperate and discouraged and depressed, and that they're hungering and thirsting, it doesn't matter how many more packs they smoke or how many more bottles they drink, there's still a void that's down on the inside of them. And then they recognize that that's God that's calling to them. Then you can begin to talk to them, because there's a hunger and a thirst down on the inside of them. Oh my, but Brother Branham said, in True Sign Overlooked in 1961, God doesn't just shove things down your throat. You have to want it. It has to be a desire that's in you. How blessed we are to even thirst and hunger. Do you realize if you hunger and thirst tonight, God chose you and predestinated you before the foundation of the world to have that thirst, when maybe there's multiplied millions outside of these walls wandering about trying to feed that thirst with something else. And if you've been blessed enough to recognize that you're thirsting and hungering after the living God, we're blessed tonight.
Amen.
He says again, and hear his voice in 1958, he said, you have to be desperate about it. You have to really need God. Jesus said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But as long as you're satisfied with the things of the world, how can God ever speak to you? You say, God never spoke to me. Why? He wants to, but you're too filled up with the things of the world. That's what's the matter with us today. We put all our time on things of the world and the pleasures of the world and give no time to God. It's true. All many people today say, well, God never spoke to me, and God never showed me a dream, and God never did this, and God never did that. Maybe it's because you're too full up of other things. You're too full. Your diet is wrong, and you're feasting on things that God can't deal with you in the right way, because you're so muddled up with other things of the world and other things you've been looking at and other things you've been spending your time with, that you can't hear that holy, hushed voice anymore. That still small voice trying to speak to you, because there's so many other voices trying to speak to you and call to you and pull you this direction and pull you that direction, that you've lost the sensitivity of spirit to hear that still small voice speak to you. Oh my, I hope tonight that you're hungry and thirsty. I hope you came hungry tonight. Yes, he says, we put all our time on things of the world and the pleasures of the world and give no time to God. It's true. He says again, in God's preparation in 1954, he said, how many would like to have more of God tonight? Raise your hand. He said, well, because that you want more of God, that's a good sign. There's more of God to be for you.
Amen.
As we talked this morning about a deep calling to a deep, and how David said that when there's a deep calling to a deep, Brother Branham said that meant that if there was a deep out there, there had to be a deep to respond to that call. And before God would ever put a fin on a fish's back, there had to be a water for him to swim in, or he wouldn't have put that fin on him.
Right.
And before that, there had to be a something inside of you. Before he would create you, he created this earth, because there had to be an earth for you to be able to dwell in. And when God places a desire in your heart, if it's a desire for healing, he wouldn't place that desire in your heart unless healing was attainable to you. If it was for victory, if it was for joy, if it was for peace, if it was for more of the Holy Spirit working in your life, for more of God, for a refilling, or for your first filling of the Holy Spirit, he wouldn't place that hunger down inside of you unless there was a deep that was calling, a way to provide that for that hunger that he had placed inside of you.
Right.
I don't know, some of you may remember there used to be a place called, if I can remember the name of it, I can't even remember the name of it, but there was a place over in Louisville that was a restaurant that we used to go to every once in a while, and it's not there anymore, and the closest one is up in Cincinnati somewhere, and every once in a while, I get to craving some of their food, and I think, you know what, one of these days I'm just going to drive to Cincinnati and get it over with. Amen. Because I have a desire for something down in there. There's a craving, and I know there's a way to fulfill it. It's just going to take me a little bit more effort than normal to get it. Sometimes we get that way in our spiritual life. Well, I know I need more of God, but I just don't have time to pray through right now. I just don't have time to spend to do what I need to do. And I, the hustle and bustle of life, I know I need to pray through. And I know I need to seek God more for what to do about my children, how to raise my family, and how to do all these different things. I know I need to do that, but it's hard for us sometimes to take that extra effort. You know, it's about an hour and a half to Cincinnati, and sometimes I'm just not that hungry. But other days I think, well, maybe I'm just about there, Brother Hoover. What is it? There had to be something. Now, for me to be able to crave that, there had to be something in existence at some point for me to ever want to go and get that again.
Right.
There had Bahama Breeze is the name of the restaurant. They had a seafood paella, Brother Hoover, and I'm going to get talking about food, and you guys are going to be waiting for me to dismiss so you can go to Dairy Queen or somewhere. But they had this seafood paella, and it was pork and rice and shrimp and mussels and scallops and a lot of stuff that would make some of you sick, but it was good. And for me to crave that, there had to be something there in existence at some point for me to ever want to crave that, to have it again. Some of you, whatever it is that sometimes you, oh, maybe it's a milkshake from somewhere or whatever it would be. Sometimes you get so hungry or so thirsty for whatever it is and you think, oh my, I've got to go over here somewhere. We got to make plans and we got to go over here and get this. What is it? You would have never had that craving. You would have never had that desire unless there was something there to be able to quench that desire in the first place.
Right.
Brother Branham said that little boy, they found him and he began to eat erasers off of the pencils at school, and they thought it was kind of strange, and so they would take the pencils away from him, and then they found him out in the garage one day and he had chewed the rubber pedals off of his bicycle, and they thought, goodness gracious, what's wrong? And they took the boy to the doctor and they recognized that there was a craving for him. He didn't have enough sulfur in his system, and this craving of sulfur, he was able, you know, he didn't know. Here he was, a little boy. He couldn't go and say, hey, mommy, hey, daddy, I think I'm low on vitamin zinc or B or whatever it is, and I need a little bit more sulfur, I need a little bit more of this. But there was something down in him that recognized, there he sat with this pencil, and he looks at it, and it might seem crazy to somebody else, and he says, that's what I'm craving. And he begins to chew on the eraser, and he begins to get whatever it was that he was lacking in his body. And then they see him out here, and most of you would have went out there and thought, oh my goodness, Lord, I prayed for a good, healthy, normal child, and here he is chewing the pedals off his bicycle. Lord, help me. But what it was, there was something that was lacking in the child. There was something that he had a need of that he was missing, and he had recognized there has to be, if there's a deep calling, there has to be a deep to respond. There has to be some way for me to get this. And he couldn't go up to the herbal store and say, hey, I need some of these vitamins or some of these vitamins over here because I'm low on this and I'm low on that. But he recognized there's something in that pedal that is what my body is craving for. And it might have seemed absolutely crazy to somebody else, but he recognized there was a calling down on the inside. And there was a way to fulfill what that body was calling for. Now, if that could happen to a little boy that didn't have enough sense or education to go down and order the right vitamin to a store, but he could find a way to get what he was trying to achieve, how much more for a son or daughter of God that has a craving down on the inside of him for more of God? And maybe you'll crawl and slobber and snot to an altar somewhere, and you'll scream and you'll cry and you'll beat and you'll plead, and maybe it looks like insanity to somebody else, but there's something down on the inside that you're lacking. And you recognize, people may think I'm crazy, but whatever it takes, I'm going to get it. Right. I'm going to find a way to fulfill this holy thirst and this holy hunger that's in me. Oh, God, may we get that desperate tonight.
Yes.
He says, because that you want more of God, that's a good sign that there's more of God to be for you. Oh, my. Think of some of these vitamins that we have. Maybe you're a little low on vitamin F, faith. Maybe you need a little dose of that tonight. Oh my, maybe we can't go down to the supermarket and buy it, but the Bible said that faith cometh by hearing of the word of God. And maybe there's just something down on the inside of you that craves for more and more of God. And you listen more and you read more and you go to church more and you recognize there's something about it. The more I read that Bible, the better that begins to feel. The better that craving gets. What is it? You're getting that vitamin that you have need of.
Right.
Oh, there's a vitamin of L that a lot of us are lacking. There's a vitamin of love that many people are thirsting and hungering for that. Brother Branham said the whole world is just dying for some love. He said sometimes God heals through love, and that just a little bit of love stretched over a place where somebody has been hurt and wounded. Somebody just to take a few moments and let them know that they care about them and they're praying for them and that they're concerned about them. You may not recognize how much that means to somebody. Oh my, I think I've said it here before, but there's a lady down Brother Morse's church in Sellersburg. Every time we go over there and we visit my mom, this lady comes up and she tells my mom how much she appreciates one time many, many years ago that her daughter came down to an altar and prayed, and my mom went down and prayed with her. Just something simple. She didn't do some great supernatural something, just went down and prayed with this little girl at the altar. And it meant so much to this lady that she would have that much love and compassion for her daughter to go and pray with her, that it stuck with her for 20 or 30 years. Every time she sees her, she thanks her for it. What was it? A little bit of love stretched over. When you think maybe somebody doesn't care and nobody thinks anything of you, and then somebody come along and say, oh my, I sure appreciate you. Hey, you just don't know how much you mean to the church. And what my, just seeing you praise the Lord and worship just encourages me so much. And sometimes when I've been down and out, you say something to me, you just don't know what it would mean. What is it? Just a little bit of that L vitamin goes a long way.
Right.
Oh my, we could go on and on and on tonight about the different vitamins, but I think you get the picture. There's many times that we're lacking. Many times we have a deficiency and we have a need of something in our life, but there's just something about it. When we begin to look into the Word of God and we begin to find some of these things, it begins to cure some of that deficiency that we have. Peter told them, we've read it several times lately, but I'm going to keep reading it until it becomes an action in some of your lives. I know there's some of you seeking it. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That was a promise to the believer.
Amen.
And so if it's a promise and you come God's provided way, then it's a promise that he'll give it to you. If you have a desire for it tonight, Brother Branham said, God wants to give it to you even more than you want to receive it.
Amen.
What a comfort that should be for those seeking healing or those seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When you think of how much that you desire it and how much you're longing for it and craving it, and there's a deficiency maybe in your spiritual life for these things, God wants you to have it even more than you want to receive it. Oh, what a promise that we have. Not only for you, but to you and your children, all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You're blessed tonight to hunger and thirst for these things, because you shall be filled. They asked Brother Branham this question in 1964. They said, Brother Branham, I want to receive the Holy Ghost. I want to know what to do. I'm burdened for my family to be saved. And the sister signed her name. He says, if you want to receive the Holy Ghost, let me tell you something, my dear sister. Then he asked Brother Neville if the sister goes to the church there. He didn't recognize her name. And they talk back and forth about it a little bit. Brother Branham goes on. He said, the Bible said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness' sake. He said, you're so blessed to even want it, see. Now remember, not that you've got it, but blessed are they that hunger and thirst for it, for they shall be filled. Just stay right with it. Amen. If you're hungry for it, if you're thirsting for it tonight, don't give up just because you didn't get it the first time you came to the altar, or just because you haven't seen the results immediately. You're so blessed to even want it. Just stay right with it. Just stay right with that hunger. He goes on. He said, what must I do for my family? He said, use the same faith that you're using for yourself, for your family. Commit them to the Lord and believe with all your heart that you're going to be saved. Don't let it just come on your natural thinking here. Let it drop way down on the inside, that subconscious. Then they're yours. God's give them to you when you've got it down here. Amen. That's a promise tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Satan would like to try to lie to you and deceive you and tell you that that's not the truth, but I'll take the prophet's word over the devil's word any day.
Amen.
St. Luke chapter 15. If you turn with me tonight, we'll read a few verses here. Very familiar story. St. Luke chapter 15 and beginning at verse 16. There was a young man that he had asked for his father to give him some of his inheritance. And he went into a strange country and he began to spend his inheritance foolishly. And before he knew it, he found himself out in a pig pen. And there he was feeding the hogs. He began to get so hungry, and we pick it up here at verse 16. He would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger." Let's just pause there a moment. Here he is. He was raised in a home of a man that was wealthy. Anything they wanted, if they wanted to go and kill the fatted calf or whatever they had need of, they would just go out and eat. They would go out and get whatever they had need of. And here he was, an heir to a portion of what this man possessed. But he goes out and he asks for his inheritance early, and he begins to spend his money foolishly. And in doing this, he finds himself in these circumstances. But when he comes to himself, he doesn't sit down there and think, "Now, wait a minute, I'm a son of the king, and I deserve this, and I deserve that, and my, I should have got this, and I should have got that, and bless God, I'm going to go back and claim my inheritance." But he recognizes here he is, and even the servants at his father's house, they may not sit at the king's table, and they may not have a great robe, and they may not be able to go and call and get whatever they want to come to him. But even the lowest servants of his father's house don't have to worry about the bread to eat. And they can go whenever they want, get him a big slice of bread and some peanut butter or whatever they wanted, and go in and take a bite of it. And they weren't hungry. And he said, "Here, even my father's servants, they have bread enough to spare. And I'm sitting here hungry and thirsty and about to start stealing some of these husks of corn from the swine." Here he sits out there in the slop and the mud, about like God found some of us out in our sins or out in some denomination somewhere, and we had fallen so low from our inheritance that he had given us and from what we had been predestinated to be. But then one day you heard an eagle scream and you recognize, you know what, there's something about it. You know, there's something about it. Here I am hungering and thirsting, but I really shouldn't be. There's a place that I can go and be filled.
Amen.
And he sits there and he recognizes, "Here I perish with hunger. I will rise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.'" My, it sounded like a pretty good plan. Here I've used up my inheritance, but maybe daddy will hire me back as a servant boy. Maybe he'll love me that much to where he'll let me sleep out with the servants and eat with the servants so I don't have to perish here with hunger. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. Oh my, I hope you can recognize that that's talking about you tonight.
That's right.
Even while you were afar off, even while you were still dead in sins and trespasses, your father saw you and had compassion upon you. Even when you weren't worthy of his love, even when you weren't worthy of his salvation, he looked afar off down the road and he saw you in your condition and he had love and compassion for you. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry.
Amen.
Oh my, there's something about it. When one of those prodigal sons comes back to the fold, there's reason for rejoicing. And here he came with the mentality that, well, maybe I won't be a member of the bride, and maybe I can just get in on a crumb of bread. Maybe I can go through the tribulation period, or maybe I can earn it through my work somehow. Maybe I'll be kind to the bride and get eternal life. And the father shook his head. He said, "No, you was mine to begin with. Amen. You, all your mistakes and all your faults, all mine. If my little boy, no matter what he does, no matter how far he goes or how far he runs, he'll still be a Bryant because he's got Bryant blood in him."
Right.
Amen. I can't change it no matter how much I would try, or no matter what it would happen, no matter how much I may have embarrassed my daddy in years gone by from my mistakes and things. It didn't change the fact that I was a Bryant because I had Bryant blood running through my veins.
Right.
And he didn't have to come back and say, "Well, you're being a pretty good boy now. We'll make you a Bryant again. I was born a Bryant."
Right.
Amen. I always was a Bryant. Brother Branham said in the Church Age book, he said you wasn't changed from a hog to a sheep. He said you always was a sheep. You wasn't changed from some chicken or some buzzard to an eagle. You always was an eagle. But what it took was one day an eagle began to fly over and to scream, and you recognized that the clucking of the chicken couldn't produce what it produced, and it couldn't speak to you like that spoke because you wasn't a chicken to begin with. And something down on the inside, you begin to realize I was an eagle all along. It just took something for me to recognize it. This boy was his father's son all along. It just took him getting down into a depleted state to where he was in a pig pen, about to eat of the pig slop, to recognize how much it really meant and how blessed he really was and how far he had really gone. Oh, sometimes God lets us get very far away, and he lets us stoop farther and farther and farther. But there's one day he'll say, no, son, you've gone far enough. Right. Amen. Many times we lean awful heavy on free moral agency. Well, I believe in free moral agency. As I've said before, God gave you a choice. You can come the easy way or you can come the hard way. Amen. But I don't believe your free moral agency can override predestination and grace and your election. But I believe that God will allow you to go run so far, and then one day he'll say, nope, you've gone far enough. You got to come back now.
Right.
Oh, I'm so thankful.
Amen.
I'm so thankful that I was in him before the foundation of the world. I'm so thankful that even though I was dead in sins and trespasses, I've been made alive again through Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that even though I was lost and eaten in the pig slop like the prodigal son, yet one day he found me and he brought me out of the miry clay. That he reached down in the muck and the mire and he thought enough of me to bring me up out of all that and to redeem me, to wash me, to sanctify me, to set me aside for service, and then to fill me with the Holy Ghost. Oh my, what a blessed people we are tonight. Amen. This isn't a story of some boy years ago in Jesus' day. This is your story tonight.
Right.
Amen. God looked down through time and he recognized there was somebody that was going to be hungry and thirsty in this age. And he looked down through eternity and down through time to this age in the darkness of Laodicea, and he saw one that was hungry and thirsty. And he said, that's mine. That one's mine. Blessed is he, or blessed is she, because they hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He says again, in the faith that was once delivered to the saints in 1953, he said it's a gift of God, or it's a gift rather. It isn't a faith, it's a gift. It doesn't come, you say, well, I believe I've got it. That don't work. It isn't that. It's a gift, unmerited gift. God just gives it to you, not because you believe it, because God gives it to you. But you've come asking him for it, and he would, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. God will give you the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you're seeking him tonight or for more of him, there's more of him to be had. Amen. Brother Branham said that it wasn't Adam running through the garden crying, God, where art thou? Father, Father, where art thou? He said it was God running through the garden crying, Adam, where art thou? Paul said it's a free gift over and over and over. It's a free gift. It wasn't anything that you could do. It wasn't anything that you could inherit by your works and your clean living. All of your self-righteousness was just as filthy rags in his eyes. But there was something about it. Brother Branham said the Holy Ghost is God recognizing that he accepted your faith. Right. Amen. Abraham could do all these different things through works and all these different things. But God didn't give him the seal of his redemption. And he didn't give him the promise because of his works. It was an unconditional covenant.
Right.
It was a gift from God that he said, I give it to you, and it's showing that I honor and respect your faith. Amen. It wasn't that Abraham could work himself up into something. So if you're hungry and you're thirsty tonight for more of God, we're blessed just to have that hunger and thirst, just to recognize that there wasn't anything that you could do. All of your good works, all of your achievements, the amount of books that you would read and scriptures that you would read and tapes that you would listen to, you could never work your way into it. The amount of people you would witness to and the holiest of life that you could attempt to live, you couldn't deserve it. You couldn't earn it. You couldn't inherit it. If so, then why did he have to come and die for us if we could work our way into it? But it was a gift that he came and he said, I recognize your faith. I'm going to give this to you freely. Come, drink of the water of life freely. Man. A gift that he would give us. If he loves you enough to give you that thirst in this age, to be hungry for more of him, what a blessed people we should be tonight.
Amen.
Amen. If the musicians would come.
I don't want to ever lose that thirst for Him.
Amen.
Amen. I don't want to ever get to a spot where I think, Lord, well, I guess I've got all that I need. I guess I've got enough of You, and I've got enough of this, I've got enough of that. No, I need more of Him in my life. Oh, I need a constant filling after filling after filling. Brother Bram said, one filling, but many refillings. Amen. You thirsty tonight? Amen. Let's sing this together. Oh, here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Just come and quench this thirst. That's our desire tonight, Father. We're hungering and thirsting for more of You. Oh, here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Lord, come and quench this thirsting of my. They play that softly, every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder how many would just slip up your hand tonight and say, oh Lord, I'm thirsting for more of You. I'm hungering for more of the living God in my life. I want to see more of You produced through me. I want to yield myself as a vessel that You could speak through, that You could work through, that You could use me on my job, at my school, in my family. I want others to see You reflected in me. Oh, the Lord sees each hand. Almost every hand up tonight. He knows all about it. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, You see the hands tonight. Lord, I don't believe they would raise their hands in vain just so that they could raise them, Father. But their desire on the heart down on the inside, Father, that soul, there's a longing, Father. There's a deficiency in us, Lord, that we need more of You. Our very soul craves for more of You, Father. Just like the little boy trying to eat the pedals off of his bicycle to get the rubber and the sulfur out of that, Father. Lord, there's something down on the inside of us that is craving because we recognize there's something lacking down on the inside of us that we need more of You. Lord, we're so hungry and thirsty tonight for more of You. For more of the living God to be manifested in our own lives. Lord, that You could be Lord of our thoughts, that You could be Lord of our desires, that You could be Lord of our goals and our achievements. Father, we need more of You tonight. Oh, Lord, You saw the hands, Lord. May they not be raised in vain.
But Father, may you just grant another outpouring of your Spirit tonight. Lord, for those that are hungering and thirsting for the filling of the Holy Ghost, Father, you've promised them, Lord, if they had a hunger and a thirst and a desire for it, Lord, that you'd fill them with it. Lord, may you come tonight and just fill those that are empty. Lord, and for those that have been filled, Lord, we just ask for another refilling tonight, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, may you just pour out refilling after refilling upon us. Just wash over us tonight, Father God. We need more of you, Father. Oh, we're craving for more of you. Our very soul is panting, Lord, for more of you. Our soul thirsts and longs for more of you in our life. Oh, for the living God to come and transform us, to make us what we ought to be, to take us, Lord, when you see something in our life that would be unpleasing to you, that you can take us back to the wine press and begin to press down and squeeze out the best of us, that you can take us back to the potter's house and begin to remold us into what you would have us to be, Father. Oh, Lord, we lift up our cups tonight, Father. Lord, may you just come and refill us anew, Lord Jesus. May your presence just bathe over us, Father. Lord, our desire is for more of you. Lord, if there's that deep calling, Lord, I believe there's more of you to be had for us. Lord, grant that closer relationship with each one, Lord. That daily walk, that daily desire for more of you, for more fellowship with you, to spend more time in your word. Lord, may it never become common to us, Lord. May you never take that thirst and that hunger away from us, Father. Help us to recognize what a blessed people we are in this age to even have that type of thirst and that type of hunger for more of you in our life. Oh, we love you tonight, Jesus. Granted is our prayer, Lord. We love you tonight. Oh, here's my cup, oh. I lift it up, oh. Lord, just come and quench this thirst, my it's my desire to be like Jesus. Oh, it's my desire to be like Him. Though often someone who might have faith to see this way. You see, I too once was so lost. Thank God I found this way. Now it's my desire to be like Him. Oh, let's stand and worship Him tonight. If you could see, my Jesus brought Let's sing it this way together tonight. Oh, yes, my family is sealed. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, my family is sealed. And I'll praise your name. I know this battle is over. The victory is won. It's all that he does. Oh, let's worship him together. It's already done. Him with migraines. He's fought one all day. He's got one, and I just want to remember him tonight. Brother Joel came up for several situations. I guess Maddie hurt her head, and Sister Tina not feeling good, different ones, different situations. Sister Stephanie Duvall, she came up after service and wanted me to pray. Satan's been trying to fight her with carpal tunnel, and it causes her pain when she's trying to work because she types a lot. And then obviously sitting here playing the piano for us, she's in pain service after service. But I want to rebuke these devils tonight that are trying to hinder God's people. And I know that's just the enemy trying to hinder her gift from her being a blessing to us. Brother Anthony, he injured his shoulder and has had pain from that. I know that's just the enemy trying to stop him from using his gift. But we want to rebuke the devil tonight. Amen. For whatever, don't let it just be for these situations, but for whatever situation you're going through tonight. Amen. Why don't you lay your hands over on somebody tonight? Just go to them in prayer. Amen. Brothers, actually, Heavenly Father, Lord, we approach your throne tonight. Lord, some of these needs I've spoken before your throne. Lord, many of them are unspoken for people, Lord, in the congregation that they've got these situations down in their heart. Lord, something that they've settled down into their mind that they have a need of tonight that they're bringing before your throne. Lord, your word taught us that we should come boldly before your throne. So we come tonight for these situations, Lord, for deliverance and for healing. And we just want to rebuke the devil, not because we have power, but because we have authority. Lord, because the blood of Jesus Christ has been shed, Lord, we accept the healing that you gave us at Calvary. Lord, for these needs, for my little boy, I ask you just to touch him and heal him tonight. Lord, for little Maddie in her head, Lord, I ask you to heal her. For Sister Tina, Lord, for Brother Joel's hand, for Sister Stephanie's carpal tunnel, Lord, for Brother Anthony's shoulder, for these different requests, Father God, we agree together tonight. Lord, for the needs of your people, we agree together as a body of believers. Satan has no right to hold them anymore. But we rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Not by our own power, not by our own might, but by your Spirit, Father, that dwells up within us, Father. And we feel that unction of Spirit crying out to rebuke these things, Father. Oh, in the name of Jesus, I go after these requests, Father, with a slingshot of faith. Lord, we believe for deliverance in these circumstances. We believe for healing. We believe for restoration. We believe for the baptism of the Holy Ghost for those that are empty, that are seeking you to be filled. Lord, we believe you for financial situations, those that have need, Lord. We have confidence in you tonight, Lord. We rebuke the enemy that would try to hinder your people, but we accept deliverance and healing tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we believe that testimonies will come forth because we believe that you're a present tense, miracle-working God, and our hearts and our souls are hungering and thirsting for the living God to move in our lives. Lord, may you begin a work tonight that testimonies would go forth of your healing power, of your mercy, of your grace, of your love towards us, Father. We accept it by faith tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we accept a finished work, Lord, that you've done for us. In the name of Jesus, we love you, Father. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Amen. Why don't you accept it tonight? You don't have to go out of here the way you came in. You don't have to go out of here sick or crippled or torn or depressed or discouraged or upset. There's victory in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. Oh my, he's here tonight. Oh, I believe these battles are over. Victory is won. I believe it's already done tonight, don't you? Oh, let's sing it together with everything that's within us. Bless his holy name. Oh, it's already done. Oh, tonight. Oh, I'm already healed. Oh, how by the present tense, God, I'm already healed. I praise his name. Oh, my battle is over. My victory is won. Oh, it's already done. Oh, don't accept the lie of the devil tonight, but claim it. Oh, I'm already healed. It's a finished work at Calvary. Maybe you're in the middle of a trial right now, but you can sing it this way. Oh, I shall overcome. Lord, I know I shall overcome. I'll praise your name. My battle is over. Oh, yes, Father. Oh, it's already done. Let's sing it one more. of His love I want to tell, of His love. Oh, yes, we'll give all the glory to Jesus. Oh, and we'll tell of His wonderful love. Oh, that's where all the glory deserves. Oh, yes, we'll give all the glory. Oh, He deserves it tonight. He deserves all our praise, all our glory. I want to tell. Oh, I want to tell. Oh, yes, we'll give all the glory to Jesus and tell of His wonderful love. One more time together. Oh, yes, we'll give. Oh, we want to give You all the glory, all the praise, all the honor tonight. We want to tell. Lord, I want to tell what a great love. Yes, we'll give all the glory to Jesus and tell. To be in church tonight. Amen. Let's sing this together. Oh, when pains of death seized on my soul, unto the Lord I cried. Oh, till my Jesus came and He made me whole, I would not be denied. Oh, no, I would not be denied. Oh, you don't have to be. No, I would not be denied. Oh, till my Jesus came and He made me whole, I would not be denied. Oh, like Jacob in the days of old, I wrestled with the Lord. Oh, but instant with the courage bold, I stood up on His word. Oh, yes, I would not be denied. Oh, till my Jesus came and He made me whole, I would not be denied. Well, old Satan said my Lord was gone and He would not hear my prayer. Oh, but praise the Lord, the work's already done, and Christ, my Lord, He is here. So now I would not be, hallelujah to the Lamb, oh, no, I would not be denied until my Jesus came and made me whole. I would not be denied. Well, old Satan said that my Lord was gone and He would not even hear my prayer. Oh, but praise the Lord, friends, the work's already done, and Christ, my Lord, He is here, the living God. Oh, now I would not be, hallelujah, oh, no, I would not be denied until my Jesus came and He made me whole. I would not be denied. Well, old Satan says that this message is wrong and there's mistakes here and there. Oh, but praise the Lord, vindication has been done. Christ, the mystery of God, is revealed. mountain, he'll say that your Lord is gone, and he will not even hear your prayer. But you just praise the Lord, 'cause friends, the work's already done, and Christ our Lord, he is here. You believe it? Well, so I would not be. Oh, hallelujah. No, I would not be denied till my Jesus came and he made me whole. Would not be denied. Oh, no, I would not be denied. Oh, I would not be denied till my old Satan, he'll say that your Lord is gone, that he will not even hear your prayer. But you just praise the Lord, 'cause the work's already done, and Christ our living God, he is here. So now I would not be denied. Oh, help me praise him tonight. I would not be denied till my Jesus came and he made me whole. Oh, everything that had breath, praise the Lord. God. Amen. He's good to us, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen. You appreciate his presence.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, my. Let's just sing this together before we go tonight. Those that are praying can stay as long as they want, but if you've got to go, you can be dismissed after this. If you want to stay, you can stay. We were here till 11:30 Wednesday night, so I don't mind if we're here that long tonight. Whatever the Lord wants, that's what I want.
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing this together. Hosanna,
blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, let's magnify the Lord.
Oh, I believe this tonight, for he is worthy to be praised.
Oh, let's magnify the Lord. Oh, I know he is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Blessed be the rock of my salvation.
Amen. I just got a testimony. Sister Tina said the knot on the back of my head that you prayed for over the other night is gone. Amen. Amen. He's a prayer answering God, isn't he? Amen. Brother Aaron Peister had got a hold of Brother Joel a few nights ago and said that he had had a knot on the back of his head when he was younger, and it had returned back and was causing him a lot of pain and discomfort, and he was kind of worried about it. And Brother Joel texted about a half a dozen of us brothers or so, and we began to pray, and he texted back the next morning and said, it's completely gone.
Amen.
Amen. My little boy that was laying here on a pew with a migraine headache, sick as a dog, he's up and clapping his hands to the music tonight. Amen. You ever clap your hands with a migraine? Amen. He's healed tonight. Amen. Amen. I believe we'll hear more things back of healings that took place tonight. Why? Because Nathan Bryant was here? No, because Jesus Christ was here. Amen. He's a present tense God. Oh, let's magnify the Lord, for He is worthy to be praised. Oh, let's magnify the Lord. Oh, I know He's worthy to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, I know He is worthy to be praised. Oh, let's magnify the Lord. Oh, I know He's worthy to be praised. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation.
When things go wrong,
Amen.
Thank you. If that Take us home. to the highest mountain. Oh, yes, it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, it's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will
gives me strength.
So serene.
understand.